Gotta get this on wax. What does M. Night Shyamalan owe you $10 for?
The Village.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's less of a hot take than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no. I didn't think that was a hot take at all. I guess maybe I could give him $10, though.
I think you already did, my friend.
Well, $10 more?
Yeah.
Because
to
at
stop
least,
making movies?
No. Like, I mean, look, he's already made his money. He's doing fine. No, I'd give him another $10 as kind of a thank you for making sure I'll never see another one of his movies.
Oh, I see. It's like a warning. Thank you, M. Night, for letting us know not to come out to the theater when your name's above the marquee.
Yeah, when it's there, I'm out. I'm just out. I'm not going to do it.
I heard Old was good.
Sure. Not going to trust the Village.
Yeah. I gotcha. What about Unbreakable?
That's a good one. And that was before the Village.
That's true.
Before the Village.
Did you ever see, I'm guessing the answer is no, but did you ever see like the attempt to turn that into a thing?
Oh, Mr. Glass or Shattered or the whole.
Yeah.
So I saw Glass on the airplane. And it was a 28 hour trip total.
Yep.
So I was just starving for entertainment.
So you run out of other stuff.
Exactly. I was just like, I've watched that King Arthur movie with Patrick Stewart as Merlin. Uh-huh. I was burning through content. I watched a couple of seasons of I watched a couple episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine that they had on, so thank you, but I checked that out, and then after that I was like, well, I guess it's Glass it is. And all it did was make me want to eat Glass. So yeah.
Because it's also, there was that other movie about with like James McAvoy where he plays someone with dissociative identity disorder, and it also has like, I think one of his forms has superpowers of some sort, and then it's revealed at the end that's actually part of the Shattered Glass universe, and then they come around with Glass and they're like, all right, folks, we built up to this. What's Security Man, your favorite hero played by Bruce Willis, gonna do this time? Oh, what's that? Excuse me, he gets drowned in a puddle, you say? Okay. Yep. So it's that kind of movie, huh?
Yep. But it's like, yeah, great. It's always nice to have a movie about the hero all of a sudden dies because he's, I don't know, drowned in half an inch worth of water.
That's right, because that was his Achilles heel. That's his kryptonite, water. Which really puts Superman's literal kryptonite in a lot more of like stark contrast, right? Because water is everywhere. In fact, it's what those aliens were afraid of in another Shyamalan movie, Signs. And a lot of people had a problem with that too, because they're like, hey, wait a minute. this is mostly water. Why are they like, skip? Let's go to Mars. That's got dust for days.
I mean, yeah. Here's the thing, though. I found it funny that Bruce Willis's weakness was water when I thought originally that the weakness was, I don't know, needing to breathe.
That's
and
certainly
if your
part of
nose
it.
Is below water, maybe it was less that the water was his weakness and more the fact that the water didn't allow him to breathe precious oxygen, and hence his character died.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly is part of it.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Wait,
I mean,
so
I already spoiled it.
Wait, okay, hold on 1 second. So do we think that Bruce Willis's character was an alien from Signs?
Ooh, you know what? Maybe like some sort of, maybe that's how he got his unbreakable powers. Because they don't really go into it.
Yeah, just one day he's just like, hey, I can keep kind of lifting more and more weights.
Well,
and then
he survives a train crash, right? And he's the only one.
Yeah. It's the fact that he had a hodgepodge weight set. That's the thing that sold it to me. Not the fact that he was able to,
he's like, put some buckets on there. I'm going to lift the buckets down, paint buckets.
Put that on there. Hey, get a carton of milk. That weighs a lot, right?
Hey, come around splashing some puddles. It'll be fun.
have a few laughs, drink a few beers.
Splish, yeah. Splash, taking a bath. Yeah. I wonder if that was...
unbreakable.
Was he like, does he never take baths? They never really address that, but does he never take baths? Because he's just like, oh, no.
I mean, he literally wears a rain slicker and goes out in the rain, so...
Yeah, that's true. There's puddles everywhere.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. It's raining outside and you walk in the rain, you're going to get wet. So
security man. Anyone he touches, he sees, I guess, if they'll do anything bad. That was never really...
I didn't get that. But still better than the village. Here, I'm gonna make a decree. Here's a decree.
Wow. Okay. Whoa.
This is a decree.
Let's hear
M. Night. I'm talking to you directly, M. Night.
Whoa.
I won't ask for my $10 back from the village if you don't ask me to ever spend another dollar on any of your movies again.
I don't know if that's a problem. I don't know if that's a promise he can keep, because I know that before every movie comes out, he gives you like a little personal ringing on the old phone to be like, "Hey, John. Hey, it's me, M. Night. Listen, there's a new movie coming out. I hope you're gonna go see it. All right, yeah. Buddy.
Yeah, I need you to stop that, M. Night. That's harassment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're able to work your business out with famous Hollywood director.
Well, we know how I'd be rocking beef.
That's you know? True.
Yeah, might as well call me the butcher. That's how much beef I got.
Is that true? You're still trying to get that going, huh?
Yeah, still. Still I mean, 7 years, but there's gonna be traction. One day people are going to be like, "You the butcher." I'm like,
"Is that the butcher?" All right. John's plan has finally come to fruition. terrific. What do you say we get the show on the road? I feel like that's solid intro right there. I don't think
sure, I'll find something. And I'm going to, you know, probably not. Maybe I'll just keep it going and then
going.
We'll see how much I'm going to edit this. Yeah.
Well, I have the intro, so you can just sit back and relax.
Oh, you mean a Monday night for John? Oh, right. Wait, I just insulted myself. Anyway, let's go.
Let's go. Pop Circle. You know we gotta keep it hype all day and night like this. Pop Circle. Showing love when we can. Shout out to the super fans, uh-huh. Pop Circle. You don't really wanna miss Pop Soccer. Stay lit. Pop Circle. So if you ready, we ride and take it back to the 90s. From movies to the video games, just a couple of nerds. Keep it so entertaining. Hey, Pop Soccer.
Howdy, folks. And welcome to another episode of Pop Saga, the pop culture podcast best described as throwing audio spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. I'm Forrest, and I'm joined as always by John. And John, are you ready to chill? Because today, it's a chill cast, so you'd better chill right now. Why aren't you chilling?
Cool down, dude. I'm chill.
Uh-oh. Ooh, okay.
Chill. All right. You good? You good?
Now I'm chill. Yes. Now I've got the demons out. I've exercised them, which is huge for me because everyone knows I hate exercise.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, people are like, "You got to exercise your demons." And I'm just like, whatever. I don't even barely exercise my own bones.
Ha ha. It's a play on words. I get it now.
Yeah. That's right. Coming at you hot off the presses, even though today is a chill cast in honor of the most recent holiday that we've all celebrated, I'm sure, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah?
Yeah.
I know you're a Scottish lord, so... like there probably is a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of a celebrating St. Patrick's Day around your you know, your drafty Scottish castle that I'm sure you live in, being a lord of Scotland after all.
You are correct. you are correct. I definitely do have a lofty, holy, actually holy, not holy, holy, Scottish castle that I do like to reside in. But I typically avoid it when it does come around St. Paddy's Day, in favor of just kind of staying a little bit more local, a little closer to home, not trying to, you know, brag or anything.
Oh.
It's pretty mellow.
I see. So you go from your Scottish castle to your other home, your vacation home, one might say. You take your long ship out there, yes. And mm-hmm. you have your retinue of serfs carry you on a litter, an enclosed litter, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it's an open one.
It's an open one. It's so everyone can see it.
It's a convertible. So
it's a convertible litter.
Yeah. The thing is, it's kind of like, look again, it's like, it's a little smaller than your traditional litter, right? It's not like huge. So like I was cramped in there. So I just figured I'd just take the top right off, get a little wind in my hair, you know, as we're going about 1 mile per hour in this thing. Cause there's only 2 people I have carrying me and one's got really bad back.
Oh no.
But we what get you there what,
you're not taking care of your serfs.
Well, look, you get who you get.
Is that part of like when you buy that little plot of land in Scotland? You get old Jimothy. He's got a bum back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well okay, but it's James has the bum back. And then Carl.
Mm.
We call him Sea Dog.
Oh, wow.
Just because, we're close like that. He didn't have bad back, but he does have a bad case of asthma.
Oh, yes. And I hear that he has the scent of camembert.
Yeah, he does kind of smell cheesy.
You know what? Get that checked out, my friend. That could be something else.
Oh, is that a thing?
Carl. Is it Carl?
Carl. Well, Sea Dog.
Hi, Carl. Huh?
You can call him Sea Dog. I'm sure he won't mind. He won't say anything.
I don't know.
Sure
we don't have that kind of relationship yet.
Don't worry about it. I mean, he carries me in a convertible litter. Come on.
Just him, though.
No. James, too, the bad back.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. One in front, in back.
Yeah, we put the bad one back in like the back. One
smells like cheese, and the other is Sparta's attack.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because Cheese Dude, Carl, Sea Dog, he's in front.
Oh, wow.
And so you get the...
So you're not going to switch that around?
I would like to, but I think they've got their arrangement out. And, you know, if it's just going to smell like cheese for, like, you know, 6-10 miles.
Plus, you're starting to get a taste for the camembert.
No. The day I have a taste for camembert means the world's going to end.
Wow. Well, at least we know one of the sides. Jeez, that's good.
Forget being at like a party with pass hors d'oeuvres and I don't know it's camembert and I just eat it. And then I realize and like, you know, Tanya knocks the rest of it out of my hand after I take a bite and I'm like, is this? She's like, it's camembert. I'll be like, no. And that's it. We're done.
I mean, I get it, because you don't even like inoffensive cheeses melted, so like a runny cheese like a camembert must be quite offensive to your delicate palate.
Yeah.
How ironic, then.
I'm not even joking. You talking about it that way made my mouth water like I needed to go throw up.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, now I know. I feel like speaking earlier of various superheroic weaknesses, now I feel like I have yours.
Yeah, you just throw a hunk of, like, cheese, but, like, the stinkier, the weaker I get.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So this is a real sort of, like, not only do you not particularly enjoy the flavor or texture of cheese, just any cheese, as it gets more character, as it gets more flavor notes and interesting smells, you are doubly out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like a fondue party. Oh well, that might as well be Ace's Chemical Factory. You turn me into the Joker. That's how terrible that would be. Melted cheese all around. What is this? I'd probably try to run out the door, break my own neck.
Mirror.
Mirror. These are the tools we have to work with. It's just like cheese cutters and spreaders. Mirror. And then, yeah. No.
Incredible. Wow. Well, let's like wash that biley thing you got bubbling up from down below, like so much crude discovered by the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes.
Let's drown that out with a little bit of a segment that everyone is tuning in for these days. That's right. It's what are you enjoying this evening? John, why don't you kick us off with telling us what you're enjoying on this Monday night after St. Patrick's Day?
Well, to keep going through my beers of the world, I am drinking a San Miguel Light. The San Miguel Light. This is your light beer with the right beer alcohol and the same full flavor of San Miguel's world-class brew.
Okay.
Drink to longer enjoyable moments.
Yep, okay. That's what I always do. To longer enjoyable moments. Okay. And the jury is in, and what are we thinking here about San Miguel Light?
It's kind of like a lighter Coors Light.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow, that doesn't sound good at all. And what are we talking about? They said it's the right alcohol content and all that beer flavor that you come to expect. But what are we talking about, APB-wise?
Let's see where it says it on here. Where are you? 5%.
That's pretty good.
That is good, but the beer, not so much.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that.
And also, Ken, I thought I read this back of this bottle incorrectly, but it sure as hell says this is your light beer with the right beer alcohol.
That's right.
Other types of alcohol?
No, it's none of this grain alcohol, okay? This is the right beer alcohol. Thank you, San Miguel, for ensuring we're having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got like a really like watered down corn chip flavor.
Ugh.
Of Coors Light, but it has no real tangy or bitter aftertaste or anything. Like there's nothing complex about it. I guess I should have got that because it's San Miguel, but on the front of the bottle they just call it San Mig Light.
Okay.
But at least light is spelt right. It's not L-I-T-E, so got that going for it.
Maybe it's not light beer, then.
Yeah, maybe that's just their name, but it they're trying to track it down. But anyway, yeah, that's what I'm drinking. And Yeah.
Terrific. Well,
it's 100 calories. Damn, I could have drank them. Anyway. That's what I'm drinking. How about yourself? What's in your glass, Vaso, cup, Camelback?
Yes. I wish it was a Camelback. No, it is indeed a Vaso. In observance of St. Patrick's Day, and in honor of this Chillcast, which is, of course, named the Green Beer Chillcast, I have made a green beer cocktail this evening. That's right. It is half of a lime's worth of juice. Half of an ounce worth of blue curacao. Pour some ice in there. And then top with a Bud Light. And you've got yourself... You've got yourself Irish with an asterisk. Like everybody who has taken 23andMe and discovered their Irish heritage. You're Irish with an asterisk because you're really just American and you need to just come to grips with that.
Yeah, I mean, my 23andMe tells me I'm Irish, but you know.
So just like the all of us who have found out we are suddenly Irish, this is Irish, but the asterisk really says it has nothing to do with Ireland within its core. That's right, because this is Blue Curacao, Bud Light, ice and lime juice in a cocktail. And let's see if it tastes.
Yeah, I'm sure it tastes.
That's right.
Let's see if it tastes good. Does it taste good? Forrest, give us the news.
It tastes. Anyway, let's move on.
Oh, no.
It's actually pretty good. If you've ever tasted a Bud Light Lime, that's kind of what this tastes like.
Those Bud Light Limes were so rank. So much better to put actual lime juice in a Bud Light.
Absolutely. And this has actual lime juice, which is definitely in its favor. But it is like, it's like a lime with a citrusy flavor. Or, sorry, a Bud Light with a citrusy flavor. So if that sounds good to you. Oh, also sprinkle a little salt on the top at the end there and stir it. Instead of shaking it, because you got a beer in there. But if that sounds good to you, give it a try. It's refreshing. It's inoffensive, I would say. And it is green. It's a bit on the turquoise side, because you know how blue Curacao does tend to have a very strong primary blue. Yes.
Yeah,
and it's hard to dispel that. But with enough of this straw-colored Bud Light in there, it does take on a green cast. And so there you go. I garnished it with a piece of lime, and I'm just living my best life.
Well, you know what? Happy for you. Glad you got your sort of green beer cocktail thing while I'm drinking this sad, sad, sad beer, but I'm ready to chill anyway, because I'm chilling, so it doesn't
matter. Fantastic. Well, let's get into it, John. What do you say?
Bro, you gotta give a personal warning. I almost spit the San Mig into my microphone. And I'd have been like, oh no, my microphone, no.
So, John, did you get up to anything Irish-themed for St. Patrick's Day?
The closest thing I did was I got a corned beef sandwich.
Ooh, that sounds good. Do you have somewhere you like that makes a good corned beef sandwich?
No, not whatsoever. I ordered it from it's a local chain here. I actually don't know if they're anywhere else, but Ike's.
Ike's, yes.
Yeah, had a corned beef sandwich with a purple cabbage slaw and like a emerald dressing. I couldn't tell you what was in that, but it was
like BAM. Like BAM?
Maybe.
Maybe. Emerald like BAM.
Yeah. They BAM'd it. They BAM. They went BAM. They boomed and they powed it. It's actually pretty well balanced. As
sounds
generally
good.
Generally impressed. But that was about. Oh, and I watched a. Continued my watching of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Classic Irish hit.
Yeah,
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so that's, well, you know, one lord to the other, I guess.
We've got to go to Mount Doom. What a pain in my arse.
Yeah, that was a lot of that. Yeah. Just finished. I finished the Fellowship and then got into the Two Towers. But on the Max, they have the extended version, so you know that's like a full-time job.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like you.
Oh yeah.
If you worked overtime, you'd be like working 12 hours to just finish those three movies. So,
good luck, buddy.
Yeah. So I finished the rest of the Two Towers today. now I'm on the Return of the King, and it made me realize that man, I cry a lot during these movies. In a good way. It's just like, man, this fellowship's so beautiful. Why won't someone?
You said to yourself, "Oh, when will this giant tree shut up? He talks so slow. I hate it."
Well, that's their thing. They're trees, sort of. Of course, right. They talk slow.
Because that makes all the. I've lost the accent. Damn it.
Yeah, you did. Drink some more of your drink. It'll come back, promise.
Yeah. I'm not sure what you're trying to say about that, but I am offended. But that's great, John. You know, I pulled out all the stops this year.
Yeah, well, hear this. Yeah, the potato.
I got Irish. Well, yes. Yes, of course I did. Yep. I smoked a corned beef brisket.
Oh. I forgot. You might be Sauron living on Mount Doom with your riches. Look at that.
That's right. Yeah, I smoked a corned beef brisket for about 6 hours out in the electric smoker. And then I paired that with some Irish soda bread and potatoes and cabbage that had been simmered in a beef and bay leaf broth for about 20 odd minutes until it was fork tender. And, you know, really had a little bit of a, well, I guess what I understand to be a traditional Irish feast.
That sounds pretty good. Can I ask you a question about the soda bread? Dr. Pepper, Coke, 7-Up, what type of soda was it?
Oh, you know, I'm a Mr. Pibb man when it comes to soda bread. There's something about that Pibb ingredient that really gives it that extra zip-zap-zoo.
Of course, you'd pick a soda without a degree.
That's right. Yeah, no, I don't like putting on airs, and so a Mr. Pibb will work just fine for me. Guess what? Mr. Pibb, I did my own research. Now drink this brown liquid I created.
Well, that sounds really tasty. Did you take any like dollops or make any like crazy like mustards to dip in it? Sometimes I like to do that with corned beef.
I served it with just a cracked, you know, stone ground mustard, spicy nice. Mustard. Which is I like a little bit. I didn't go too crazy. I like the simple, the simple with all those mustard seeds in it. It's always good.
Yeah, I just found I like a little bit of it, just to cut through some of the fat, like just to help make the fat a little more complex, in a good way. Again, in a good way.
Yeah, mustard and beef is a great combo. Totally agree. And then I had leftovers. I used the same smoked corned beef today in burritos, and
whoa,
that's right, the Irish influences keep going.
Damn, you did it up. All right,
yeah,
okay. I see you.
That's right. I bought Jameson's. I bought Guinness, of course. These are all very sort of basic stuff. Nothing real too off the charts, but it felt great. It felt great to celebrate that old St. Patrick beating off all those snakes.
Yeah, he did beat off those snakes. Snakes to the left, to the right, he beat them all off.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yep. And he should be celebrated for it.
He should
be. He should be. Oh, he should be. You know, I was, as part of just looking into, you know, how Ireland has directly affected our area of interest, the pop culture scene. And, of course, like, I think perhaps, based on my research especially, perhaps at least, you know, in my everyday life, the biggest impact that Ireland has had is in the music arena.
Sure. We know your love for U2.
I'm a big U2 fan, especially that Vertigo album. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hello, what? Hello.
I thought you became a fan when they forced it into your phone.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I didn't mind getting a free album that automatically got downloaded onto my iPhone.
And automatically pushed anything else if you didn't have a lot of memory out.
That's right. I lost a lot of pictures of my deceased grandparents, but, you know, it was worth it because I'm just like, uno, dos, trace, catorce.
Then you have to have the blinker turn on. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Now you're going to have that going through my head. Thanks. Anyway, what pop culture? Enlighten me.
Well, the Cranberries, of course.
Who are those?
You know, zombie. You remember that one? Thin Lizzy, the Dubliners, John, the list just goes on. But those are the things that everybody knows about. You know, we also talk about video games. And Ireland has had its fair share of video games. Now, there's plenty of video games that have been set in Ireland. Big games you would recognize, like Tomb Raider. That had a level in Ireland. Did you know that? You do now. But what about the games that were produced in the Emerald Isle?
Impossible. We learned they did not get electricity until the 1980s.
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding, folks.
Pop Saga does not agree with any of John's statements before or now.
Hey, joke. Okay, what was made in Ireland? This is interesting me.
That's right. Well, surely you will be aware of 2015's hit game for the Windows and Linux platforms made by Bitsmith Games. That's right. It's Frankenjohn.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That famous thing, Frankenjohn.
Yeah. Frankenjohn. I love that game. It was so cool. Especially the part where things happened.
Frankenjohn is a randomly generated head-smashing RPG. Fight your way through a horror house full of B-movie inspired creations and delve into the demented mind of your creator, Dr. Harmon.
Yeah, that's the plot. I was thinking of the second one. No, really. What is this? What are you talking about? Are you?
Well, John,
are you on the rocks?
No, this is true. So actually, here's the deal. I looked up all the games made over in Ireland in the hopes that there would be something that I recognized.
Is this the only one?
No, that's just the first on the list, John. There are many more. And each one more inscrutable than the last.
Okay. I'm ready to go with you. We chilling, but I'm hoping I know one of these. You're like Frankenjohn. I'm like, well, in case I saw.
Well, here's one that you may have played and heard of. And this is maybe the only one on the list that sounds remotely familiar to me. And that's Championship Motocross featuring Ricky Carmichael. Published by THQ and developed by Funcom Dublin Limited. It was released in 1999.
You're bringing out the classics. But that does sound familiar.
Yes.
That does sound familiar. Out of all that one sounds familiar just because I think it was at a time where there were a lot of games which were featuring like specific sports stars at that time. And I guess Ricky Carmichael is one of them. King of motocross, I imagine.
Right. Roll Ricky Carmichael. I got a poster. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about because I got a poster of him up behind me right now. Ricky doing sick tricks on one of those dirty bikes, as they love to call them. But here's one that I take that back. I do recognize this one, Empire of Sin. I never played it, but it was a top-down strategy RPG, I believe, where you take the role of a crime boss in Prohibition-era 1920s in Chicago, and you play that. So that's by Romero Games and published by Paradox Interactive and made in the Emerald Isle.
Okay, yeah, that name sounds familiar, but I definitely never played it. How long ago did that come out again?
2020. Ooh, the most.
Sorry, I thought you were going to be like, "Whoa, 1995." I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's cool." Like, no, 2020. Like, nah, I never heard of it.
The most recent game was a browser game called Kill Phil, by the Square Gang, and that came out on June 11th, 2021. And then of course House of Unrest. That one is part of the Dread X collection, and so that one was made by Dan McGrath. Anyway, this is all to say is that we need to invest more money in creating games in Ireland, I think, because there's not granted, this is a Wikipedia article, it's possible it's not exactly up to date, but seems like an untapped potential over there in the beautiful land of Ireland, somewhere I've never been, but I would love to go someday. Of course, I won't be able to because they'll listen to this and I will be denied entry to the country.
Yeah, definitely on a watch list. Definitely on a watch list.
Watch out for this guy. He's an asshole.
Okay, well, that's a wow. I'm watching some Empire of the Sin gameplay and it's just XCOM.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's good. You know, if you're gonna copy something, you could certainly choose worse.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You gotta pick the mobile game version of XCOM.
Yeah. You got some hot takes tonight, my friend. This is a chill cast, and you're already saying the chill gloves are off.
I'm spitting hot fire. I'm spitting hot facts. Only because of my San Miguel beer is getting hotter for some reason. And it's tasting worse.
Shouldn't, but it is. I have to say, I watched a little bit of Championship Motocross featuring Ricky Carmichael on the PS1, and it looks rad as hell. It's got super cool physics, and for the PS1, some very impressive mud graphics. Loving nice. It. Way to go. That's right. Way to go, Ireland. Way to be. Way to make a sick motocross game starring Ricky Carmichael.
I was hoping it was going to be more like Road Rash. I feel disappointed.
Interesting. Yeah, no, it's, you know, motocross is not, there's not like a big like street violence component to motocross, to just regular motocross.
Feels like a missed opportunity.
Road Rash was a wild game. That was wild. It was all just about like, hey, race regular street bikes on the street and then maybe punch a guy.
Yeah, kick a dude. Why you next to him? Why not? And if you're really lucky, you can start swinging a chain at him.
Oh, when you get that chain, you feel invincible.
That's it. But like who's beating you? You're on a motorcycle with a chain and you're swinging it over your head like going, hey,
exactly.
Invincible.
You know, the thing about like swinging a chain around as a weapon is it seems wildly cumbersome. Even when people know how to use it, it seems like it's like that would hurt if you got hit with it. But getting hit with it is a trick. That's the thing that seems like it might be easier to avoid than you think.
Yeah, I feel like when someone invented the chain, it was not to be weaponized. I mean, obviously, it looks like it should be. But yeah, you're more than likely going to crack yourself in the back of the head.
Yeah, that thing's unwieldy. It's gonna get squirrely. It's gonna get out of control, and then you're the one's gonna have a chain lashing. And boy, the lie you're gonna have to make up to make it yourself not be humiliated is gonna be a doozy.
You're hardly gonna be
able to get through it.
Yeah, someone's gonna be like, "What happened to you? Oh man, I got hit. Some dude hit me with a chain."
That's right. Yeah. He was great at swinging it around too.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, and just cracked me right in the dome."
He hit me with pinpoint accuracy. You know what he didn't do? Hit himself in the face. Woe to the person who does that.
Yeah, that would be egg on his face, or in this case, chain.
Oh. Oh, mercy. Well, look at you. You're on fire.
Yeah, I am, because his beer is getting hotter still.
I'm coming in hot.
That's right. John's got all of the hot takes tonight.
Chock full of sass.
I love it. Yeah, so this is a big week for TV.
Is it? What's happening on TV this week?
You know, well, Shogun continues to go, and boy does it. Season 2 of Halo, the second season of the Halo TV adaptation, is premiering this week. And will they get to the Halo at long last, two seasons in? We will see. There is no guarantees. They've been teasing us with the possibility of actually going to the aforementioned, the titular Halo. But yet, so far, no dice. The Three Body Problem premieres this week. And I think the thing that you and I will be most interested in, and I can't imagine us not talking about it here on the show, X-Men 97 premieres this week as well.
Really?
That's right. X-Men cartoons are back, baby. And so is some fairly juicy controversy.
Oh, already?
Indeed.
It's not even out. I mean,
the showrunner responsible for the show, which has been getting a lot of positive early buzz, was fired.
Not so good.
Days before they announced that they were picking up the next season of this show.
Wait, what? They fired the showrunner before the show released?
That's right. Just a week before it released. If the narrative on social media is to be believed, this was a complete blindsiding to this this creator, and the details are still sparse around what happened and why. There are some rumors out there, but I'm not going to entertain them.
Yeah, let's not peddle in the rumor trade. Let's get these facts.
That's
let's
right. We'll wait for the facts. But still, a shocking development right before the premiere of this very anticipated cartoon.
That's crazy. Like, a week before? That must have either something... Well, I don't want to even conjecture.
That's and we simply just do not know.
That's crazy. I didn't hear that at all. I've been in a pop culture ISO chamber for the last couple of weeks, to be honest. So I've been like, I didn't hear any of that stuff. Work and everything else is just like shut down brain, watch cooking things on YouTube, you know, like no effort. I've watched a lot of cooking things on YouTube. Have you not cooked any of the things that I watched, but I've watched them and I feel like
so it's just people making stuff, not like necessarily shows about food.
Yeah. Just people making things.
It is a show about food insofar as that it's someone making food.
Yeah, it's a new YouTube channel I've kind of glommed on to. So I've just been like every night I've been watching a few of their things because they have a wealth of content. So I've just been going through it. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I don't want to make that. Or, that's cool. I don't want to make that either. But I'm glad that you made it. And that's about all the effort in. But I didn't hear this about the X-Men 97. I thought you were going to talk about the controversy of the theme song.
Oh, I am unaware of that controversy. Have they changed the glorious theme song?
I don't know. That's what I figured was going to happen.
Well, okay.
Maybe they finally got sued by that original version that we like identified way back in like episode 63. Yeah. You know, where they're like, they stole it from that... that group.
Yeah. You know what? I'm thinking that whatever that group was back in 97, they don't have the juice to stop this veritable juggernaut. I hope there's at least some. I hope that the theme song is at least inspired by.
It'd be a shame
if we lost it.
There's no way. There's no way you give that up in any sort of way. That's the best thing that show had going for it was the theme song. Because on a subsequent, for X-Men 97, look, there's no secret here for the people who've listened and paid attention. X-Men are not like my favorite Marvel characters. They have a place in Marvel, definitely founding father station, all that. But in terms of like, their stories, some are great, but most of them just don't interest me personally. So yeah. I was like, well, let me prepare for X-Men 97. Let me watch through the old cartoon. I can't do it.
No?
I can't do it.
We did watch that one episode for the show.
Yeah, and then I was just like, oh, yeah, that was bad. And then this year, I was like, well, let me watch through it again with, you know, fresher eyes, less judgmental. Nope, they're very much still very judgmental eyes. I lost it after the first Magneto appeared. So I was like, okay, I'm out. I'll just wait for 97 because I can't watch the show anymore. Because it wasn't very good. Sorry.
Well, I think those kind of things, especially for me, I'm not going to go back and watch the old ones because I like how they exist in my memory and what and how I remember them. I think better than the reality would be of me experiencing them with, you know, the level of intelligence and sophistication that I've reached in my adulthood and how would I be receptive to such childish themes as genocide.
Well, I mean, that is true. You know, TW here, the Magneto episode, Professor X sends Magneto puts him in like a brain loop where he's just reliving the worst time of his life when he was living in an internment camp, a concentration camp. And you're just like, sure, holy shit, this is on Fox.
It's what rugged.
This is super rugged.
That show is rugged.
Like, get me back to where, like, Jubilee's running home after the Sentinel attack and doesn't notice a giant 50-foot-tall robot in her neighborhood. Those were gentler, kindler times, which were just, like, one episode prior. You know, I was like, oh, this show is rugged. So I just like, look, I'll check out 97. Well, we can definitely, you know, cover it, see what we think. Why not? Unedited, but that was a rough watch. But the best thing I had going for it was that theme song. So if they get rid of that, then man, I don't know what else. Is it even X-Men at that point?
That would be very foolhardy, I think. It's just a timeless bop. And my only hope is that we still get those, like, the Cyclops bubble letters at the start. It's just like, ah, Cyclops!
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, the weird character name font. That's just like, ooh. 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 It might as well have been all Comic Sans.
From your mouth to whatever God is up there as ears, I hope that you're right, my friend. And of course, we couldn't, we can't forget about the Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Dadcore juggernaut, Masters of the Air, wrapped up last week with the final episode. We got to find out what happened to those boys and their mamas. And we finally got to see what happened at the end of World War II. I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, how did that work out?
Bad for some, worse for others.
Yeah, well, be expected, I guess. Mm-hmm. I really should look into that one, Dave.
What, the show or World War II?
The latter.
I see. Yeah, I mean,
how is the show? Is Tom Hanks in it?
No, Tom Hanks is not in it, thankfully. Nope, okay. But it has that it's very Band of Brothers adjacent. So if you liked the vibe of Band of Brothers, then I think you would really like Masters of the Air. Plus it's just, I think the whole Flying Fortress concept is very fascinating, and just seeing how much damage those things went through and still stayed aloft in some cases is always very fascinating. Don't watch it though, if you are thinking to myself, hey, you know what I don't want to see tonight? Somebody's face just blown halfway off. That would be gross, and I don't want to see it tonight. If you're thinking that way, don't tune in. Because, spoiler alert, pretty much once every episode, some horrible face trauma happens.
Someone gets canoed. Their face gets canoed.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, or burnt horribly, or, when you're getting shot by high caliber rounds and you're basically in a tin foil tube flying through the air, shit goes south fast.
Yeah. Okay. Good tip. Good tip. Mm-hmm. Which streaming service is on again?
It's on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, great. I don't need the trauma afterwards. Don't have Apple. Apple TV, so I'm good.
You're missing out though. There's some good sci-fi on there.
I don't know.
Good original sci-fi.
You literally just called out someone getting their face canoed and.
Yeah, no, but don't watch a show about war if you can't take the bullets, stay out of the gullets.
Apple TV, we got face canoes. I think that's their slogan. I'm good.
You were talking about airplane movies. Airplane movies are a fascinating experience, right? Because you are truly a captive audience in that case. And just, like you were describing, starved for entertainment. And it is in that state that I saw the movie 65 with Adam Driver. Are you familiar with this movie 65?
That's the one where he goes back in time to fight dinosaurs to make sure that we don't find their bones in the future.
Yeah, well, John, I am so excited that you said back in time, Because that is also what I assumed. And I think that would have made a very cool movie. But I was shocked to find that this movie does not take place in a future of Earth. No, it takes place on a completely alien planet where everyone looks exactly like humans.
Oh.
But it is 65 million years ago. And so they have this whole section at the start that is explaining there are other planets and there are other people too, and they are advanced technologically. But it's a long time ago. So anyway, here's Adam Driver. I wonder what will happen.
Wait. So
he's basically a long haul trucker that is hauling frozen bodies across the galaxy from an alien planet.
Okay.
He comes upon an unexpected asteroid field while everyone's sleeping, and is thrown off course and crash lands on Earth. You know why he didn't expect this asteroid field, John?
Why? I have no clue.
It's the asteroid that is coming to put an end to all the dinosaurs. That's right. It's the extinction-level asteroid, and the trail of debris that it's carrying behind it causes his ship to crash. And that's the twist. Here's the thing. It's not a twist because they explained it in a lengthy intro exposition. And I was like, what? Why did you do this? You had the perfect, why is this happening? Why are there dinosaurs here? You had, the perfect mystery that you laid out. You could have then revealed, oh, he's from an alien planet, and that's why he is back in time, or that's why he's in the past. No. No, they're just like, yeah, he's an alien, and, whatever. He's got to do this long-haul trucker thing to get money for his daughter's surgery. This is the actual plot.
Wow. I gotta.
Yeah.
Ooh. And this was on an airplane.
Yeah, but then I watched it on an airplane. And, I was just, you know what? I got up and walked out.
You got out over Denver or something.
That's right.
later.
I put on a parachute and I was like, no, this movie sucks. I gotta get out of here. It was just wild because, just like you said, the advertisements really built 65 up to be this. It felt like, oh, he is in the future. He gets knocked off course, goes through a wormhole, and then is back in time. And it's this hopeless journey to try to get home where he's battling dinosaurs and the end of all sentient life on Earth. But they throw it out. They're like, we don't trust the audience to have this revelation later. We're just going to have to tell them on the front of the movie. It's like, yeah, listen, his daughter's sick. He needs money. He's in a civilization 65 million years ago that was a lot like Earth. Very uncomfortably close to Earth. They get around this, or they add world building to it by having all the writing be not English, and so that's ooh, this is an alien race. You find out over the course of the movie that his daughter has passed while he's on this trip, and then he forms a bond with this this young woman who he can't speak her language. She's got another alien language that he can't understand. But he forms a bond with her, and then they escape. In the end, spoiler alert, I'm spoiling it for you on purpose, so you don't have to see it. Don't see it.
Thank you. The movie
is quite bad. The dinosaurs look bad. And, I was just so disappointed. Because, I would have loved to find that out later. I would have loved to be surprised by that, even if the twist wasn't so good. It would have been interesting if the creators of the story had just trusted me to follow along, but they didn't, and so I watched a very mediocre movie about, frankly, people I did not care about. Here's the kicker: at the very end, is he escapes, and they show the asteroid impacting Earth, and all these dinos being destroyed and dying. And and then they just, over the credits, they just show the passage of time until we get up to modern day.
Sweet Jesus.
And it's just like, and then the Ice Age happened, and then there was some other stuff, and now it's Phoenix. Like, it ends in, it's in like a shot of what looks like just an exterior shot of Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm just like, what? Why?
Wow.
What even happens?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time you were describing that, I shit you not, my mouth was like aghast as I'm just hearing this plot going like, you saved me $10 or $15, so thank you. Like, you maybe 2 hours. I don't even know how long that movie is, but thank you so much because that sounds dreadful. Like, I just assume he went back in time when I saw the trailer. I was like, I even went back in time and got to fight dinosaurs and come back in the future or something. Okay, I'm for that.
Yeah, because that's interesting, right? It's like he gets carried across time from the future into the past, and he has to try to find a way back if he can. And like, where am I? Oh, this is New Jersey, but it's in the past. Oh, no. It's slightly less dangerous. Har, har. But no, none of that. They're just like, yeah, he's an alien. Whatever. We don't want to. This is too complex. I don't care. We'll just make him an alien. That is exactly like people.
God, that sounds.
Didn't even give him like face paint or like tattoos.
Wait,
he doesn't even get like a forehead ridge or a weird ear. Nothing that could. It just looks like a person.
Did he at least predator himself? Like he was getting ready to fight and he, like, you know, wipes mud on his face so he can go fight the dinosaurs before he escapes?
No. Mm. I mean, he gets filthy over the course of the movie, but never intentionally so, seemingly.
Oh.
He's got a real kick-ass gun and he shoots a lot of dinos with it.
That's good.
It's got like an ammo counter. It looks very toyetic, very video game like. There's a lot of cool props. You know, kudos to the production design, because they did do a fair amount of thinking of sort of standard everyday stuff that we would take for granted. They tried to rethink it in a way that would make sense for an alien culture that grew up. Or that, you know, evolved differently than we did.
Sure.
So there's some of that in there that I found fairly interesting. But the similarities were too much. The fact that they looked like people was just distracting. And then, like, I don't know. Like, whatever happened at the end of the movie, it still happened 65 million years ago. So I just don't care.
Yeah, like, if he got back to his future, then sure, maybe, but yeah,
his future. It's his future.
That's what I'm saying.
Present is 65 million years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, if it was the time traveler thing versus just, like, you know, alien trucker, you know, crash lands, hits a pit stop that is Earth. Yeah, there's really no stakes, especially when you know what the end result of that's going to be, and even like to your point. Even if he died on the planet, who cares? It was 65 million years ago. It's like,
he left like a bunch of tech and debris on the planet. And of course, that's distracting because we've never found that. And like, I think the way that they try to explain it away is that, like, they're like, oh yeah, well, he was right near the epicenter of the comet, you know, of the meteor. And so everything was vaporized.
Sure. Except
there's like a skeleton you watch sort of decompose, and that was fine. So yeah, I don't know. It was not a fun or good film. And I even thought, like, in the context of it being in a plane and just being starved for entertainment, I thought it would be watchable. I was looking forward to it when I saw the trailer originally, and boy was I wrong about that.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you did that when you probably had some other options you could have watched while on the plane.
Yeah, there was other stuff, sure.
But if folks out there, we should be giving Forrest some thanks. I think he just saved us about, you know, like 90 minutes to maybe 120 minutes of our lives.
And, that's right. If you haven't seen 65 yet, don't.
Yeah. Message received loud and clear. I am good.
It's also like, it makes the fact that it's called 65 even make less sense, because it's like 65 million years in comparison to us. We're not even, these are aliens. We don't even, like, that's the most interesting part. The aliens are real.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, calling up a thing that took place in, you know, in the 90s. We would just call that like 34. So stupid.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. I mean, yeah. I got maybe a little good news.
Oh yeah, what's that?
The Acolyte got a premiere date.
Now that is exciting. I am looking forward to that show so much. Everything I've heard about it has me so excited to watch it. And they just premiered a poster of it. And it's the most rugged Star Wars thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, you want to describe it for the folks?
Sure. It is a lightsaber hilt that is casting, or is at the end of, a smear of blood, sort of mimicking the Sith red lightsaber.
Yeah. And it says, in an age of light, a darkness rises. I just added a little laugh for dramatic effect. But hey, look, June 4th, so not too long. And
yeah,
apparently,
you think it would be May 4th, but no.
Yeah, maybe a little too on the nose. Maybe that's supposed to be like the light day, you know, like May 4th is the,
I see.
You know, well, March 18th is the darkness. But we're getting a trailer apparently tomorrow.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. So, you know, if it is seismic enough, maybe we'll break it down on one of our shows. But from what I've heard, this seems very interesting. It's definitely like one of those, from what I've heard about it, they're talking about this is like the most monastic, the most, omnipresent that the Jedi Order ever was. It was 1,000 years before the prequel trilogy, and this is a world in which the Sith don't really exist. So this is the emergence of the Sith, and from what I understand, maybe they'll kind of be anti-heroes in this, and the Jedi Order will be truly seen as the stuffy, uptight organization that it really is, or not. We'll see. All I know is that they have mustard colored robes over on the Jedi Order, and I'm in for it. And I hear that the Wookiee Jedi that is in the comics might be making an appearance, but we'll see. Don't quote me on that.
I won't until he doesn't show up. I'll be like, well, Forrest did promise us that
he did say that he would be.
It didn't happen, so you know, Forrest is a liar, so maybe he's wrong about 65. Just saying.
Maybe I need to go check out at 65. But then I encourage you to do so, because then you'll come back into the fold. You'll be like, you were right about this 65.
I'm not taking a chance now. Yeah, smart. That hurt everything. Heard about it. It made my neck hurt. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Don't watch it.
Yeah. All right. Good. Good, good. See, sometimes we tell you what to watch, and sometimes we suggest what not to watch.
Yeah, that's the service that we provide. And that's the service that we provide, John. And I hope that we have provided a very chill, right around about an hour-ish for you today. But I think that's going to do it for us for this chill cast. I know my rant tank is empty, and my Irish asterisk is almost gone as well. So I think that's a good enough time as any to wrap up the show.
Yeah, I got to pour this beer down the drain before.
And that beer is going right into the old reservoir. But don't let that bust your chill. Instead, let's get to the segment that everybody tunes in for, that everybody looks forward to. That's right. It's the outro. And, of course, the outro always starts with us thanking Burton M6 for all the incredible music on our show. There is a link to Burton M6's Fiverr page in our show notes. Check it out. You've heard the evidence of why Burton is so good. And you can hire him yourself. So check it out. We have links to our socials, our email, lots of ways to get in touch with us. But the best way is to join our Discord server. It's free of charge. And Discord's pretty cool. You know, don't take my word for it. Try it out for yourself. But you can try our Discord, or you can join our Discord if you like. Come join the fun. And we'd love to see you there. And as we always say at the end of every show, wherever you are out there, however you choose to listen to us, we hope that you are happy and healthy. And if you're not, that's okay too. But I'm going to throw it over to John for the final word.
Remember, folks, this is your light podcast with the right beer alcohol.
Hey, thank you for tuning in to all my super fans. Hope you coming back again. Got a shout out to Fresca. I know you riding with me as we pull up in the Hyundai Daily City. You want the hype? I gotcha. Gotta keep it locked right here on Pop Saga. Woo! Pop Saga, let's go.